Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here. Another episode of Redskins Talk, the podcast. I'm here with my main dude, Rich Tandler. Tandler, what's up, man?
Hey, doing great.
I want everybody to know that we just recorded the greatest two-minute intro in podcast history, and then Greg Abernathy came over and messed it up, so we had to start over. He asked for a shout-out. There it is, Greg. All right, Tandler, let's talk football. Let's talk. All right, I always like to tell the listeners where we are. We are sitting on the back of a golf cart parked at Redskin Park, looking out over the practice fields. We're probably sitting a little closer than we'd like to. If we could, I wouldn't mind like a 4-foot buffer.
Well, they don't make these golf carts for that big enough for both
lounging.
Of us.
Yes. No one can hear you, Greg. Stop talking. But we are enjoying a perfect Thursday night weather, man.
Yes,
you can't beat this.
Absolutely.
And honestly, all week it's been pretty nice. The forecast for the game on Sunday looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's not going to hit above 80 degrees for like a week.
That's incredible for August.
Yes.
That's your weather report brought to you by Rich Tandler.
Now okay. On to the sports report.
Now on to the sports. All right, Greg's leaving. Goodbye, Greg. Okay, so this week had a little bit of juice to it, and I think there were a few factors. I think a big one is just the scheduling. I think the game being on a Sunday lets the guys kind of settle into that normal rotation of an NFL week.
Yeah, it felt like a week. They said Chris Thompson told me they've been doing some film study. If they do what they do last week, they've been doing some scout team work. So, still not as intensive as they would for a regular season game, but they're moving in that direction, definitely.
Well, because it's also the third preseason game. And while it's still a preseason game, it's as close as you get to a real game. And I think the Skins also know offensively they have to show up. They have to put something on the board.
Yeah, I think that does add. There is that sense of urgency there that might not be there for a preseason game. If they had moved the ball better in games one and two, they might look to playing the first half and then, then sitting down and taking the rest of the night off. They might play a little bit into the third quarter from what I've heard.
Right. Well, and they've got their horse back. They got Jordan Reed coming back. Now, I still don't know if he'll play Sunday. It almost doesn't matter as much. I think they get a boost just having him back on the practice field.
Yeah, I think they really want to get him in there, though. I don't think they're concerned much about the aggravating the injury. I think they really want to get him out of there. Let him get some contact.
He wants it too.
But maybe a dozen snaps.
Right.
Certainly not the whole 30 or so snaps. Yeah.
But he said he wants to see live bullets too. He wants to get out there and get roughed up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's no substitute for live football.
Yeah, because also last time he played real football, he had that shoulder injury.
That's a good point.
And, he wants to get that
banged on a little
bit. He was largely
ineffective late in the year.
I was just looking it up for a post on my need to know that came out this morning. He caught 7 passes in the last, 4 games if you count the one that he missed. And that's just the offense just can't be effective if he is that, invisible in the offense. And he was hurting. Anybody who wants to say Jordan Reed is soft should just go have a chat with him about it.
I said that after that Cowboys game where he played the second half with a separated shoulder, he caught at least one touchdown. I think he might have had two.
Had two for the game. Yeah.
Right. He was incredible. And seeing him in the locker room at Jerry World after that game, I'll never forget the sight of him taking his pads off. Do you remember that, Taylor?
Yeah, I was thinking like, hey, fly back in your damn shoulder pads,
right,
man.
He's one of the quieter, more soft-spoken guys, and he let out this guttural yell to get his pads off, and just the pain and anguish on that dude's face was incredible. And from that day forward, I will adamantly disagree with anybody that dismisses him as soft. The concussion stuff is a whole nother issue. I mean, you can't the brain stuff, man, you can't mess with that. You got to go with the doctors and with whatever the protocol is, and maybe even be more cautious than that. That's a different situation, but he's not going to let a toe injury sideline him if he's able to play through it.
Right, exactly.
Something else this week that's adding to the juice, man, and I know you don't love this story, Taylor, but it's a thing, man, is this Lane Johnson from the Eagles.
Wake me up when you're done talking about this, please.
Oh, my God. You're such an old man sometimes. Lane Johnson in the Players Tribune, I don't know if you read it, basically came out in a way to say how much he loves Philadelphia and not necessarily apologizing for his PED suspension last year, but trying to just kind of explain it and explain, you know, the last year of his life. And in the process, happened to say that come week one, the Eagles are going to come down to Washington and whoop some ass. So, obviously, Redskins players don't like that. Zach Brown responded on Twitter, which I think was a good line. He said, we don't have PEDs down here. We look forward to seeing you week one. I talked to Zach Brown about it. He didn't back down from his comments. He had a real interesting line that, you know, that Lane Johnson was a quarterback when he started and somehow has become a right tackle in the NFL. He started in junior college as a quarterback at a tight end. So Lane Johnson has bulked up an awful lot, I would guess. I don't know. I don't know much about Lane Johnson's bio, but I found that interesting. And that is just adding to a little bit of – there's some excitement about playing football and hitting, and you can feel it in that locker room. I mean, the other thing I think is normally by now there would have been some cuts, and there aren't this year. So it's
not until actually after the third preseason game would the first cuts come. Those came between 3 and 4.
You sure?
Yep.
But wouldn't they have let some of the veterans go that they know aren't going to be here usually?
Did they let Paya go
last year?
Between 3 and 4.
Okay. All right. Well,
no, maybe before 3. I could be wrong about that.
All right. Regardless. But it's also there's still kind of that competitive energy of everybody's trying to make the roster. And, you know, the starters know they need to show up this week. Terrell Pryor, that was a pretty cool story Pryor told about working out after practice with Kirk the other day. What do you expect to see from Kirk this week with the wideouts? And what do you think the Redskins have to show this week?
You know, just some more confidence. That really just struck me, you know, early in that Packers game. You know, not playing against a terrible defense, but certainly not, you know, the monsters of the Midway or anything. He just looked kind of hesitant, tentative. You know, you can't really see his eyes from the press box, obviously, but, you know, just kind of thinking what they might have looked at, just some uncertainty there. And he, you know, he needs to, you know, he's not physically talented enough quarterback to be effective if he's not confident in where he's going with the ball, and he's not sure of where it's going and that the receiver is going to run the proper route to get there, because, of course, a lot of times they're making their breaks after he gets rid of the ball. He needs to know the guy's there. So that's what I saw out of him, just a real lack of confidence, which maybe took a little bit of pace off of his throws. It just, you know, has that kind of kind of waterfall effect where everything starts to deteriorate.
And I think it'll come. I really do. I mean, Pryor, everybody to a man has said they're not worried, we're going to be fine. And I expect it to. But I do think the slow starts for this team are a real thing. Jay Gruden's never won an opener. Obviously, last year they started 0-2, and that put them in a hole. They can't start 0-2, I don't think. You can't lose that game at L.A. for sure.
Right. Well, right. Especially given the competition. You know, you have two teams who did not have winning records last year. You got one of them at home, and then the weaker team on the road. And yeah,
that Rams team could be good. The defense was there. They kind of quit on Jeff Fisher, but if Sean McVay gets them to be a somewhat capable offense, that's a dangerous trip.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
but every game in the NFL you can lose.
You can put up a scenario, but you know, it's a game where the Redskins will be road favorites. You know, in the Coliseum, I don't know, 50,000 in a 100,000 seat stadium. That's some, a pretty something big like that.
Delta you just suggested. Yeah. Is it a 50,000 or a 100,000 seat stadium?
No, I said 50,000 in a 100,000 seat stadium.
Fairly apathetic Southern California crowd, yes. We can expect.
Right.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
Maybe a lot of Redskins fans. I know that there are a lot of Redskins fans out west. You know, the Redskins used to train at Occidental College out there in Los Angeles.
I did
many
not.
Years ago.
What year was that?
That was like in the 30s and 40s.
Taylor, you weren't watching football in the 30s and
40s. No, but
dude.
I read. I you know.
I read.
I write books.
Stuff. Hopefully somebody gets my Seinfeld reference there.
Right.
I tell you what. You learned something on the Redskins Talk podcast. I did not know that the Redskins used to train at Occidental College in Los Angeles. That's interesting. Yeah. Do you think there are a lot of holdover fans from the 30s and 40s?
Some, more than you might find. And then I also know San Diego, when the Redskins would play there, they would get a lot of military would go there, and I think some of them might make the trip up to L.A.
What I was going to say is, if I'm a Skins fan and I'm looking to do a cool road trip, going to L.A. is pretty awesome. I mean, the team hasn't played out there in 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah, long time.
And L.A. is pretty great. And you got two chances.
And L.A., a better chance of getting the ticket. The StubHub Center that the Chargers play in is sold out. That's only 30,000 seats.
Is it already
sold out on seasons, yeah. So much easier ticket there at the cavernous Coliseum.
I'm putting a request out to the listeners. USC Southern California plays Texas the night before the Rams Redskins game at the Coliseum. I would love to go to that game. If anybody has a ticket hookup
or two,
let us know because we're interested. All right, what do we want to see defensively against the Bengals? I think the defense has performed pretty well. Aaron Rodgers carved them up, but Aaron Rodgers carves people up. That's kind of
just
what he does.
Everybody. Hey, how about this? A takeaway.
Takeaway.
The, one,
nice.
The one takeaway the team's had came on special teams, and you know this group will not. No defense in the NFL is going to thrive without taking the ball away, and you know would I don't care which unit does it. But it would be nice to see Josh Norman get an interception, see him knock a ball away. A strip sack from Preston Smith, you know, something like that, just to, just to kind of check that box that hey, we've done this.
I do think it was encouraging that Preston got a sack already, because last season he got close on a ton but wasn't able to get guys down. So just even though it's preseason, but his first action he got a sack. The Skins need that from him.
Yeah, I mean he's lost a little bit of weight. I think that'll make him a little bit quicker. They're going – Gallette lost some weight. He lost some weight. I think they're going for speed at edge rusher. Ryan Anderson isn't necessarily blazing fast, but he is he's on the light side. So I think they're looking for more speed and less bulk out there at the edge rushers.
I tell you what, man, it's frustrating sometimes to talk about the edge rushers because – those guys are all built to be edge rushers. I think Ryan Anderson maybe is built a little bit more as like kind of an edge run defender. But certainly Smith and Gallette are built to rush. And a lot of these concepts leave them in coverage. And I think it's kind of a disservice.
Yeah. That's the whole 3-4-4-3 thing. And, you know, the 3-4 has its pluses and minuses. That's one of the minuses. But you drop them out there. Also keep in mind that these guys are in nickel situations
a lot, right.
In a three point stance with a nickel corner, maybe an extra back or maybe an extra safety in there.
Yeah, true. One thing I wanted to discuss, and I think you and I were equally confused by it, I'll say last week against the Packers, is Josh Doctson's minutes or reps, however you want to call it. Josh Doctson came in as the backup to Terrell Pryor last week. And to me, they missed a big opportunity. I mean, this team struggled so much in the red zone last year, and they had that red zone opportunity early in the first quarter after the takeaway you talked about where Fabian Moreau and Niles Paul connected on that special teams fumble, and they didn't put Doctson in for those snaps. They had Ryan Grant out there. I think that was a mistake. And I think this week you need to see Doctson up there with the ones. I'm curious what you think, Taylor.
Yeah, I think that's where he should be.
We both think he should be.
Right.
That's not even a question.
Oh, will he be?
But no, I would say we both think he should be. I kind of understand that the coaches wanted to bring him along a little bit slowly,
right.
Especially coming back from the hammy. But this week he should be there, correct?
Yeah, no doubt.
Will he?
Don't know. I it's hard for me to put logic on why Gruden and other coaches do some things that they do, and B, because of the Ryan Grant factor.
Yeah, they love Ryan Grant. One thing when Kirk talked Wednesday, I thought was pretty interesting is Kirk kind of got talked about, kind of got asked about missed connections. I think that's a very weird Craigslist category that I'm not bringing up, but the missed connections with some of his receivers. And I think clearly the prior situation has been fairly well documented that those two are still trying to figure out the timing. Both are confident they will, but it's not there yet. And I was saying that early in camp when folks were still enamored by Pryor's size. I think it will get there, but I think Jameson Crowder is going to be the leading receiver early in the year. Go ahead, Taylor.
And you also, with Pryor and him versus Crowder or Doxson, you know, Crowder and Doxson have been wide receivers since high school for you know, what, 4, 5, 6 years plus? You know,
hell, probably way more than
Pryor's
that,
been
dude.
One. Yeah, well, you know, Pee Wee, I don't know. Sometimes these guys are quarterbacks because they're such good athletes, but they've been doing it. You know, Pryor's been one for about a year, you know, season,
right.
You know, and then he did some work in off seasons.
So he
was
Pryor
cut
can
by
be really
a bunch
good,
of teams, you know, but to his credit, real quick, unlike Tim Tebow, he finally decided he got cut as a quarterback, couldn't get signed. He said, okay, I'll switch positions from quarterback. A lot of guys aren't willing to do that
but
and would rather
– want Tebow to be a receiver?
Oh, tight end. Yeah, that was talked about a lot. So – but that's kind of a little side note. But so, you know, he's been working hard, Pryor has, to try to make up for lost time. And he's got his – you know, his personal coach, who's a, you know, I can't remember his name, but, you know, he knows a lot about working as a receiver and running routes and footwork and proper ways to catch the ball and all that. But it's just hard to make up for being that many years behind these guys.
Yeah.
And just being that, you know, having that natural connection with a quarterback, you just don't get it, you know, even in a year or two.
I'm with you. All right, so real quick, you brought up a cool note there about Tebow going to tight end, but one of my favorite things ever is that Jordan Reed was recruited to Florida to play quarterback, and he realized he was behind Tim Tebow and Cam Newton on the depth chart and switched to tight end. Just what an incredible collection of talent that was.
Yeah.
I love that little nugget.
Smart guy.
Yeah. Anyway, here's what I wanted to say specific to Doxson is Kirk talked about missing Doxson on one play on a second down, I think, where Kirk said, hey, I should have gone to him here. I didn't see it. But then Kirk talked about the play at the goal line, which you and I talked about where
everybody was talking about it.
Yeah, that
was
a big
press box.
It was blowing up on Twitter. And I think, to me, Doxson was open for a hair and the ball didn't come out. Kirk talked about it and said he wasn't open, that Doxson made such a good move early that the corner was able to come back later when he would have thrown the ball. And here's what I'll say. Whether or not I think it was open, what matters is that Kirk saw it, made a decision, and moved on. And that is the key, because earlier you and I thought he either didn't see it or just wasn't able to decide and moved on.
Right.
So, you know what? You got to trust your QB, and if there's anything Kirk does is make the right read most of the time. So if that's a decision, that's cool.
Right, yeah, instead of just a not seeing a guy. And I think that happens a lot where, you know, what you see on TV, in the press box, wherever, is not what the quarterback is seeing on the field.
Right. All right, this is going to be our game preview for the Bengals game. So let's try to preview this thing a little bit.
Okay.
Who will be the leading rusher for the Washington Redskins Sunday afternoon against the Bengals?
I'm going to go with P. Ryan again. I think that I think they want to give him some run, and some run literally and figuratively, and I think he'll get the ball.
Okay.
I don't even have to guess who you – I have no doubt who you're going to say.
I wasn't even going to say anybody.
Oh. You were going to say Mac Brown.
No, I fear – I like Mac a lot. He's a great guy, and he's a good running back, but I kind of fear that ship has sailed. He still has practice squad eligibility, I think.
You know what? That's not what I'm hearing, but
that
we can talk about
practice
that later.
Squad
no, that he will need
staff,
to test that practice squad
the
eligibility.
The staff loves him, man, and that's why all along I've been saying I think they keep four backs. I don't know what the heck's going to happen. Because here's what we know. We know Rob Kelly, Chris Thompson, and Samaje Perine are making this roster. And then I tell you where a definite roster squeeze is coming is the back end at safety. They're only keeping four back there.
Well, yeah, as you reported yesterday, D'Angelo Hall is going on PUP.
Right, so we know that. But even with that, they still have five guys for four spots back there.
If you're they kept five. They kept 11 DBs last year.
Okay, but they only kept three tight ends. We both are pretty much agreeing they're going to keep
four
tight ends.
Yeah, but I think that spot is going to come from – I think they're going to go 25-25.
All right, so where's that – so if they're going to keep five safeties again, what does that mean? Less outside linebackers? Less inside linebackers? Less on the D-line?
Maybe less – or maybe – no, they went 6-5. Maybe they'll go five corners and six safeties.
So that means your boy Holsey's not making the team?
Maybe not.
He goes to practice squad?
Maybe not.
He might get pinched. He might get got.
He could.
I've seen some talk that Quentin Dunbar might not make this team. I don't agree with that at all.
I don't believe that for a second.
Okay.
But our game preview O-line, got derailed. Back to your question, just real quick.
Yeah.
Eight O-linemen. That's how it's going to work.
And that's how you get your fourth tight end.
Right.
But now you're telling me four running backs.
Right.
Well, you got to – and then that means no Sudfeld.
No.
If you're going four tight ends and four running backs, you got to make some room up somewhere.
Four linemen. Help me count here. Four running backs.
Four running backs.
Four tight ends is eight. Okay. Eight linemen is 16.
16.
You still need six receivers is 22. Three quarterbacks is 25.
Okay. So your eight linemen will be the starting five, for lack of a better term. Rouye. Inseki and Kalis?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Maybe him or Quan, maybe they will decide to keep Kwanjo
because I don't see it.
I don't either, but
I don't see it.
One of those two. If they keep both of them, then you got the problem elsewhere.
All right, well then let's run through the other side since we just did that. So are you saying five safeties? Or you're saying 11 DBs total?
Right.
And that does not include Josh Holsey, it does include Will Blackman.
Four inside backers, four outside backers, and six D linemen. Six D linemen is tough.
Four and four. All right,
and
so
they might have to find a seventh.
And
which
11.
Is crazy, right?
So six D linemen. You're saying Ioannidis, Allen,
Taylor.
I
don't know about Ioannidis. It's almost got to be Ioannidis or McClain, and they might both have to stay. Then you might have to go with 10 DBs.
Ioannidis has to stay because he's played well. That should still matter. Ioannidis,
right.
Allen, Taylor, Ziggy,
right.
Stacy McGee,
Terrell McClain.
Well, I feel like I'm forgetting.
And Lanier.
Anthony Lanier is making this team.
Yes.
So then you still have Terrell McClain as your seventh.
Right. That's hard to do.
Especially the way Jim Tomsula likes to rotate these guys. I think they're keeping seven on the D-line.
But can you keep six? They keep on talking about having five up on game days, though. If you're having five up on game days, you don't need seven.
That's true.
Who do you cut? Can you trade somebody? I don't know.
I don't see him cutting Terrell McClain, man. I really don't.
I don't either. That would be $7 million. He's got a $5 million signing bonus and a $2.5 million guaranteed salary this year.
And it's just the front office admitting they made a big mistake right after they let Scott McLuhan go.
Well, you know, last year, though, I don't know. I guess that wasn't McLuhan factor, but they let Kendall Reyes go. Now they only ate $3 million
and change on him. And that was like two or three games in.
Yes.
Yeah, he
was around for a while.
It wasn't the roster.
Like week four or five.
I think it's going to be interesting. That's, you know what, your math on the offensive side of the ball kind of works out. The defensive side of the ball is going to be very interesting. The only thing I was going to say, that getting back to our game preview,
which
we keep derailing.
It's a preseason game, so we can get derailed.
I agree, because we're not even going to give you a Bengals report,
just so we're clear.
Prediction or anything. But is the first team offense going to be able to run the ball? This Bengals defense is no joke.
Yeah.
They couldn't really run the ball against them last year, I don't think. I just remember Kirk threw for 400 yards.
Yeah. Kelly got going a little bit, I think. That was his first game as a starter.
Yeah.
So he got going. He's got going well enough to keep the job for the rest of the year.
Yep.
I think they'll run better, but it still won't be acceptable.
I tell you, I agree.
A yard a carry. They'll do better. They will do better than a yard per carry, ones versus ones.
I think the Bengals defense is better than the Packers defense. Now, maybe it's more of an
issue.
But
I think these guys will play better, too.
I think they can play better. I think the game calling can be better. I think a lot of the situational stuff can be better. We'll have to see. It's hard to have a ton of faith in this run game right now.
Yeah.
It can be proven wrong, certainly, but it's hard to have a lot of faith.
It's like I said, they could double their average output and still be pretty bad, but at least it would be a step in the right direction.
Tandler, our next podcast will come Sunday night after this game.
That's what do you say about preview? That?
I don't know. You got anything else?
No.
You jerk. You want to? Jay Gruden used to coach for the Bengals. How about that? Does that wrap up the game preview?
Yes.
I tell you what, Gruden got asked, because if our listeners remember, that game got pretty damn chippy in London last year.
Yeah.
And the Bengals are a little bit of a cheap shot team.
Just a little.
It's just who they are. And Gruden got asked about it, and he was defensive of his old buddies. He's like, they're a class organization. Yeah. They don't take cheap shots. We don't expect any of that to carry over from the London
game.
His
nose grew a little when he said they don't take cheap shots.
I'm not buying it, Jay, but you did the right thing saying that.
Right.
The last thing you want to do is be Lane Johnson. And give bulletin board material in August. Tandler, we're both writing a ton of stuff. Anything you want to point to?
I think I mentioned in passing. Stuff? Yeah, position outlooks are really those are a lot of fun to write. And don't know what I'm doing tomorrow.
So you guys know Tandler is that dork that really has fun writing. I'd rather record 50 podcasts, I think. but I actually wrote some stuff. I wish what's weird or tough about the internet is that the Zach Brown, Lane Johnson stuff is going to get a lot of clicks, and that's cool because it's interesting. But the Kirk Cousins, Terrell Pryor story I wrote, I actually find that really interesting because it's both these guys giving us real detail on how they're trying to improve and get better for week one. So if you have a second, go read that story.
Yeah, and you know, like this morning, I didn't want to do a fourth story on the offensive line, so I'm holding one. So read the offense, man.
Dude,
don't
I tell you what? We have covered the hell out of the offensive line.
Yes, yes.
If you need stories about a backup center, nobody's got you covered like CSN.
You are there. You are there.
All right, Tandler, implore the people to subscribe and review.
I am imploring you people to go subscribe on Apple Podcasts, wherever.
Why are you such other places? Just call it iTunes, man. Everybody calls it iTunes.
It's Apple Podcasts.
You are such an Apple guy, dude. As you sit here checking your iWatch and your iShoes and your iShoelaces. But seriously,
wherever fine podcasts are available.
So I want to say this. I've been checking the reviews. One of them was really funny because they called Tandler a grandpa. I enjoyed that. I tweeted that one out. But one consistent thing that I was reading in the reviews was about audio quality. And I'm going to be honest, we are usually on the road at places trying to get these recorded, so it's not always that easy. But we're going to make an effort to make sure the audio is a little bit better. Right now, today, Tandler and I each have our own mics, and we've got them plugged into some confounded machine that Greg Abernathy screwed up, but hopefully it's recording all right. So hopefully this sounds a little better, and just know that we are listening to your feedback and we appreciate it. And if there's ever we're due for another Q&A podcast,
I think. Yes, and I will no longer consume iced coffee out of a metal cup,
dude. Like I kept joking about it, but it was terrible, man.
I did it like three times.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I didn't think it was that big a deal.
It was three times too
many. If that happens again, I'll mute my phone when I'm.
If that happens again, you have to buy my drinks for the night.
Oh God, that gets expensive.
All right, Tandler, tell everybody your Twitter and Facebook and stuff.
Rich_TandlerCSN with that little at symbol in front of it for Twitter, Facebook.com/TandlerCSN.
Dude, you don't have to say that little at symbol. Just say at. People know what symbol.
Well,
it is.
I know, but I forgot to say it, so I put that in there.
I am at JPFinleyCSN and Facebook.com/JPFinleyCSN. We really appreciate you guys listening. And if you see us on the field Sunday, holler at us. We'll say hello. Tandler loves kissing babies, taking pictures, shaking hands. He's basically a politician.
You don't want me kissing your baby.
He'll sign their forehead.
Trust me.
He's basically
I'll make your baby cry. Not intentionally, but I just will.
Why would you say that?
That's what they did because babies cry when they see me.
You're sounding weird now, man.
I can't help it.
I know you can't. Folks, thank you very much. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.